Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies not covered by other Movie by Minute podcasts. I am your host, Dr. Chris, and joining me for the minute 70 to 75, don't be a fool, is makeup artist Billy Coyne. Thank you for coming back on the show with us, Billy.
What up?
So we start this with Jacob yelling at Seth to, don't be a fool, your brother's a vampire, because he tells Sex Machine, I don't really give a fuck, and if you touch my brother, I'm going to kill you. And Richie looks really weird. This doesn't even look like it's Quentin Tarantino anymore.
Yeah.
Do we know if somebody else played Richie as a vampire?
Maybe he had a stunt double?
Because that does not look like Quentin Tarantino, right?
No.
Do you have IMDb up in front of you?
I do not. Right. I'm not sure where my phone is, actually.
Let's see. Let's bring up the cast list. Let's see. George Clooney, of course, has top billing. Titty Twister saxophonist. No. Big Emilio. A lot of bar dancers in this movie that actually just get credit as a bar dancer.
You know what? He almost looks like,
Monster.
What's his name? In The Mask. When Peter Green puts the mask on.
Oh yeah, when the gangster, you mean, right?
Yeah, the gangster when he puts it on, but flesh tone, not that green that we see.
Right. Who plays Richie as a vampire in From Dusk Till Dawn? Because that is an actor too that I've heard that I was like, oh, that was him. Like I was kind of surprised. Someone said it was Michael Bailey Smith. It was just at the convention we went to, but I was like, no. Zane Holtz. No. I'm sorry. God, I hate Google's artificial intelligence crap that comes up. In the 1996 film From Dusk Till Dawn, Richie Gecko turns into a vampire and attacks his brother, then kills Richie. Carlos arrives and breaks the door, letting sunlight in and killing the vampires. That's the end of the movie. It doesn't say... So... Zane Holtz plays Richie Gecko as a vampire in the TV show. Okay, but who played him in the movie? Because that's not Quentin Tarantino. Like, I'm not crazy. That doesn't look anything like Quentin Tarantino, right?
When he's but it's so prosthetic heavy. It could be someone else, and you could believe it.
Right. Let me do a little more. He's 6'2". Yeah, it doesn't really say. Also, did you ever watch the TV show?
No.
Oh,
I think I actually have it on disc.
They definitely toned down the sexual rapist at a part of Richie in the TV show.
Well, they probably did like to blade the TV series and just made it more kind of vampire centric than, you know.
Well, it ran for 3 seasons. They definitely made it very heavy vampire centric, but it was still very gory too.
Yeah, I mean, I bet it was. I mean, it's funny because there are a few shows that, you know, kind of jumped the TV route after the film series, and another one that comes to mind is Tremors.
In what way? The fact that it's a TV show based on a movie.
Yeah, like you have, you know, a successful, you know, you create a series, you have, you know, go up to 2, 3, 4, and then, you know, you transition over to TV to a, you know, it almost like broadens the audience.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, definitely in a way. It doesn't list, it just says him, so maybe it is him with just a lot of prosthetics, and that's just what he looks like. Because he's got a couple different looks. When he wakes up and the bites, he's got the teeth or whatever, the yellow eyes, but the scene we're talking about, he's full on really weird, but Seth has to kill his brother and then starts hammering it up with some drinks. And the first person to ask him if he's okay after having to murder his own brother is Juliette Lewis's character, which is, you know, telling of what happens later on in the film. And Jacob scolds him about getting too drunk or whatever. He needs him like sober and with it because they're in big trouble.
But if you got to kill your brother, you know, I mean, I think a drink is okay.
A drink is okay, but don't be hammering them down. You're about to fight more of these things. So, the bats everywhere outside the club. It's the same shot twice in these 5 minutes. Did you notice that?
I did actually.
Okay, that's kind of strange. Robert Rodriguez in the commentary with Quentin Tarantino, who's very funny to listen to. Quentin sounds like he's drunk, but he's very manic up most of the time whenever you listen to him in interviews. So he's the same way in the commentary. With Robert, he says he took the script and realized Kate didn't have much to do in the scene, so he wrote a scene where Kate has to struggle with trying to kill a vampire.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I mean, I'm not sure if this is a guy that has no legs, you know, that actually goes after Juliette Lewis.
That sounds like it could be just like the guy that Mr. Incredible regurgitates in Poltergeist 2. What's that actor's name? In Poltergeist 2, he like burps up this demonic entity.
Yeah, you're right. I think it is Craig Noble, and yeah, he's done creature work before.
Oh, you think it's that guy with the without his legs?
Well, I mean, but I know that's the guy's name who played the creature. But you know, I mean, I know that. You know, when it, I mean, it's so funny too seeing Tom with a bullwhip, because at orientation, you know, he is so proud of, you know, mastering the bullwhip, and that's just one thing that he always made aware whenever. I don't know. I guess like when you were somewhat around Tom, you know.
I've seen it. Yeah. I mean, I was at Rocket Shock. He whipped out the bullwhip or whatever, just stood in the middle of the arena, just showing it off, which is, you know, fine. Wasn't at his table that much at that Rocket Shock, FYI. He was too busy. The one in particular I'm talking about, John Landis was there. This was 2009. Did you go to that
one?
Oh,
yeah. Well, I remember that when they had the Rubber Band Wars.
Yes. So John Landis was there, and he was at Tom Landis's table so often that I remember somebody in the management Rocket Shock getting kind of pissed because his people were complaining, saying, "I came here to meet these people, including Tom Savini, and he's constantly sitting at, you know, why don't you just move his table next to John Landis's?"
I mean, that would have been the smart move, but you know, I think it was just funny because Tom was like, you know, a guest just running around. But I mean, come on, if you're gonna have a Rubber Band War, I just see Tom getting bitten here, some nice chunks of flesh, you know. I mean, there's just
you're way past 75. So minute 75 ends with Julia stabbing the guy in the floor.
Oh shit.
Okay, yeah, so 5 minutes, that's it. You're past that. That's the next scene.
I mean, it's funny because the scene is so action packed. It's like I really can't tell like where the cut. I mean, it's just a flawless. I mean,
you should have the
editing is so good in this movie,
Billy. You should have the counter up on your screen so you know where the 5 minutes ends.
Yeah, because when they hit play, it only comes up and it goes away.
Oh, okay, so it doesn't give you that ability to do that? Okay, so the 5 minutes ends with Julia stabbing the guy in the floor, and that's exactly how it ends. As soon as she stabs him, that's when it ends.
As soon as she stabs him.
The guy in the floor. She finally gets up the courage to stab him. Robert and Quentin are talking about in the commentary about working with Dolby Digital sound effects for the first time. They are not used to Dolby Digital recording equipment and sound, whereas today we take it so for granted. But at the time, this was still very heavily new technology. Only people like Lucasfilms and Steven Spielberg were probably using it, not auteur and amateur filmmakers. Who had, you know, they had come up pretty well, but let's face it, Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez were still well below, like, Francis Ford Coppola and Steven Spielberg and George Lucas and things like that.
Where was Cameron?
Cameron probably was up there, too. But you know what I'm saying, though. I mean,
yeah,
to work with like, heavy digital effects and digital. Because don't forget, stuff was still being filmed on film at this point, you know?
Well, yeah, it totally was.
Yeah, it wasn't until The Phantom Menace came along that it really started changing things. As bad as that movie is, that movie and Titanic, people started converting to digital, to film. Slowly. Yeah. Very slowly, obviously. But I digress. So the 5 minutes ends with Julia finally stabbing the guy. I just do like her just whole like just she's just wiping her brow. And she's just like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. But she does have a nice little exchange with Tom Savini where they introduce themselves to each other very quickly.
I mean, his character is so much fun.
Kate, sex machine. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Are we going to kill some vampires together?
I also love the introduction with the cock gun immediately, which, you know, definitely sets up his character.
Yes, earlier in the film. Yes, absolutely. That's all the notes I have here for these 5 minutes. Billy, where can people find you online?
They can find me on Facebook at Billy... B-I-L-L-Y, period, coin, C-O-Y-N-E. On Instagram, you can find me as Mad Dr. C, all lowercase, M-A-D-D-R-C.
And you can find me here at the Vampire Movie Minute podcast, as well as the other shows we've done, such as Lost Boys, Once Bitten, Life Force, Interview with the... All right, we have not done Interview with the Vampire. We did Vampire Hunter D. And you can also pick up my own version of Vampire, Vlada, A Dracula Tale, Vlada Tales of the Damned, Vlada Chronicles of the Damned, and look for my next Vlada story to come out sometime in 2025. Also, in just in terms of filmmaking, you can pick up my book, The New England Horror Filmmakers. And we will be back with the next 5 minutes of this movie and another host here on the Vampire Movie Minute podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, iTunes review, you know, do all the things that help people find the podcast better. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, dude.